the WYSL stations present an hour of truth for the battered but proud people of the Empire State. From the financial and entertainment epicenter of New York City to the sleeping and empty small cities and towns of upstate, which once bustled with manufacturing, mining, and farming. We all know from inspiration, history, and nature, we deserve a return to the success and growth of generations past, a birthright being squandered by corruption in Albany, and the depredations of an insecure, scheming mountebank posing as governor, who loathes both us and himself. As liberty beckoned to enslaved peoples behind the Iron Curtain via American broadcasts after World War II, we now say, believe, rise, and join us. Welcome to Radio Free New York. And now, here is your host, Andrew Hollister.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to our first show. We're going to be talking about all of your rights all of the time. I'm Andrew Hollister. I'm a Rochester native, and I'm running for Lieutenant Governor on the Libertarian ticket. And we're just here to discuss liberty in New York from a Libertarian's perspective. So I'll just get started. I'd love for you guys to get to know me. And there is a way to call into the show, too, if you have questions. Bob, what's that number?
Well, that number, actually a couple for you to choose from, depending on where you are. You have locally 346-3000. That's 346-3000, star 1040 on your Verizon Wireless. And, of course, we have a lot of folks throughout New York in the Southern Tier and up into the North Country as well who are listening in. We have a toll-free number, 866-552-1009. And give us a call anytime. We'd love to hear from you.
There we go. Awesome. So just a little bit about me. This may be your first time hearing me speak. So I'll just give you a little background, and then we're going to do this every Friday at 1 p.m., and I'll tell you just a little bit more about me and my upbringing in each show. So just a brief overview. Born and raised in Rochester. For those of you who are from the Rochester area, I grew up in the 19th Ward. That was my home for the first 20-some years of my life. Currently live in Charlotte.
Give them the street where you lived in the 19th Ward.
So yeah, yeah.
People zero in on it.
Yeah, so I lived right on Chilai Ave by Genesee Park Boulevard and walked to school every day to Wilson Magna on Genesee Street. So that was my neighborhood. I was there every day. You know, the city of Rochester is interesting. If you live within a mile and a half of the school, they won't provide you busing. We lived 1.49 miles away, according to them. So it's actually pretty good for me because, you know, I walk the neighborhood every single day. I did walk through some questionable areas, but I got to know the neighborhood. And at one point, it actually got me riding my bike a lot, which was great because it kept me extremely active. And I like to say it built some character, you know, just walking a mile and a half to school every day in kind of today's society. That's unheard of.
Through the snow, of course.
Even
in May, yeah. Right?
You know, sometimes I got lucky if, a family member had a morning during the blizzard, you know, I'd catch a warm ride to school, but not so often. So I was a former EMT. I volunteered as an EMT for Gates Ambulance for a little while there. And I am currently a general class ham radio operator, KD2 DYP, for those who are interested. Something
side
I do.
Man, AM?
Everything.
Everything.
I do everything, yep. And I help out Aries and Racies when I have the time to... just build emergency response when communications might not be available. I've done the Ginna power plant drill a couple times, simulating, you know, things that what could happen and what should happen if anything were to happen with that power plant. So that's a lot of fun. I got my hunting license when I was 12 years old. That was an accomplishment for me, both gun and bow. I've been hunting from a very young age. That's always been a part of my life.
You're still a young age. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I am. You know, that's funny that you mentioned that. I am 29 years old. I am literally the youngest age you could possibly be to run for the office I'm running for because I turned 30 on December 27th.
I wanted to say, you know, it's a good thing that you come down here Friday afternoons because... you know, you're too young to drive at night. So we're a little concerned about that.
They haven't lifted the restrictions yet, right? That's and I'm married. My wife and I are married for about 2 years now. and having an absolute blast. We're playing for children in the very near future, so we're very excited about that. In addition to that, I'm a small business owner. So is she. She works at RIT full-time. She has a photography business. I have an IT company right in the city. I employ 6 people full-time, and we just have a blast there. I've got such a great team. Can't thank them enough for the work that they put in. They make decisions like I do. So as a business owner, I think having people that make decisions the way you do is just the best possible thing.
So as long as we're getting to know you a little bit, typically in your demographic, you would find a person that might be more of a progressive, on a progressive kind of bent. And libertarian is kind of the antithesis of that.
Yeah, it's interesting. So you're right. There is this perception that I believe that the age group I fall into is the millennial group. And a lot of times we get kind of swooped in with a generation right after us, and they kind of combine them. But from everything that I've read recently, millennials are actually the biggest group alive today that are supporting Second Amendment rights. However, there are many of us that, yeah, they push super progressive policies. They push super progressive values. But when I find when I speak to them, that's not always what they believe. It's kind of what they think is right. But then when they talk about deeper, they believe something else. So this,
so it's kind of, they're sort of, if not to put words in your mouth, but it seems almost like they haven't thought things through. And if they continue on their current trajectory, you're going to see some attitude and adjustment there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? It's probably good to talk about how I got to where I got today, right? Because before 2013, I wasn't involved in politics at all. In fact, I wasn't paying attention to politics at all. I started my business at a very young age. I started at 18 years old. And just kind of as I was building my company, I knew the taxes were high. I knew the regulations were awful, but I didn't know that it could be better. I just assumed that's how it was, and people say running a business is hard, and that must be it. And I had a public school education that taught things the way they taught things, and I just was taught, hey, we've got a constitution. That's what holds our politicians accountable. I had no reason to question that until the SAFE Act got passed. When the SAFE Act got passed, that was really my line in the sand, my awakening. You know, that's what got me, because that's something that's important to me. And I think each person, when they see government crosses that line of what's important to them, that's when they start to question things, unless they're fortunate enough to, you know, have always questioned things. So for me, that really started in 2013, and it started with our Second Amendment rights, and it very quickly turned into just about everything else New York State does. You know, I started seeing, wow, you know what? Yeah, we do have laws in place and politicians ignore them. They're not doing the right thing.
And sometimes the laws that are in place are just so intrusive, that there's no way to comply with them without sacrificing something else that you believe in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of really intrusive laws, you know, it's funny. I wanted to talk about just some goofy stuff in New York, and I was looking for something yesterday, and I found, and I couldn't find specifically the law, but I found this movement that's happening in the United States. It started a couple of years ago. It's called Right to Dry. Have you heard of Right to Dry? I was mind blown.
Right to Dry, D-R-Y?
Yeah, D-R-Y, Right to Dry. So what Right to Dry is it actually a movement to remove laws that prevent you from drying your clothes outside. And
I should have seen that one coming.
Yeah, right. So Right to Dry is a really interesting movement because it's a perfect example of how government regulations put something in place that had nothing to do with safety, had nothing to do with anything more than control. So essentially, there are only a few states, I think 19 states, that allow you the right to dry your clothes outside.
Wait. Just so I understand this. So specifically, other states have measures which deprive you of the right to hang your clothes out to dry?
Yes, that's it. New York State is actually one of them. There's areas in New York State where it's illegal to hang your clothes outside of your house to dry them.
Now, these aren't HOAs, right? These are not homeowner association rules. These are state laws.
Yes, some of them are like zoning. Some of them are, there's certainly HOAs as well. You know, that's probably where this all started. So I couldn't find the specific law in the books for New York, but I found many articles about people complaining in Brooklyn and Long Island about wanting the right to dry their clothes outside. Now, here's the thing. Basically, everybody's been ignored up until the last few years because now it's eco-friendly to dry your clothes outside.
So if you hang your clothes out, that's okay until somebody has an axe to grind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it's not enforced. I found one article that said in Long Island, if you hang your clothes outside in front of your home, not behind your home, it's up to a $1,000 fine and 15 days in jail. Or if you hang your clothes within 10 feet of your neighbor's property. So I thought that was
So we're going to have clothesline police out there measuring with a tape. No, you're not in compliance. You're only 8 feet, 8 inches
from
the line.
So this law has nothing to do with safety. And it's really interesting to me that people now are saying it's wrong, not because it's your rights, not because it's your liberty, not because it's your own property. Because it's preventing people from not using electricity. So now people are fighting it from an eco-friendly standpoint instead of the standpoint of, it's my property, it's my laundry, I should just be able to dry it. So I found that really interesting. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back.
Andrew Hollister is his name, and this is a brand new program for you on the WISL stations, Radio Free New York. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back in a moment.
I want to talk to all the large and small business owners listening today. You know how hard it is to make a profit. And when you're ready to use some of those profits for your company retirement plan, you want to know what's the best plan for you, the employees, and your company. 401k plans, simple and SEP plans, new comparability profit sharing plans, or a good old defined benefit plan. What's the best way for you? I'm Alan Ginsberg at AM Ginsberg Advisory Group, and I've been providing retirement planning advice to business owners for over 30 years. It's time to start providing more for your own retirement. Call me, Alan Ginsberg, at 585-377-4720 to arrange a no-cost, no-obligation initial visit. That's 585-377-4720. Because when life happens, we plan for it.
Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors, Inc., AM Ginsberg Advisory Group, and Securities America Companies are separate entities.
We are back with Andrew Hollister and Radio Free New York.
Hey guys, how's it going? Andrew Hollister here, Libertarian candidate for Lieutenant Governor. And I say that because a lot of people don't know what to think of libertarians when they hear libertarian. In fact, if you're right-leaning, you probably think libertarian is alt-left. And if you're left-leaning, you think libertarian is alt-right. So I always try to tell people it's not either of those. It's actually right in the middle. The thing that libertarians really want, especially here in New York with our state government, the thing that we want is we want a government that protects your rights, not regulates your life. So when you hear libertarian, think that. Think a small government whose purpose is to protect your rights, not regulate your life. So that's one thing that I hear often when I meet somebody for the first time. They say, hey, what party are you on? And they're expecting to hear either their team or the team they don't like, you know, red team or blue team. And I say libertarian, and if they're like conservative leaning, they're like, oh, you're a liberal. No, not a liberal. And uh, if If I say it to somebody who's a Democrat, they'll say, "Oh, is that one of those right-wing, you know, alt-right groups that, you know, this and that?" It's like, no, 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 we're not that. We're about your individual liberties. We're about small government. The libertarian utopia would be no taxes, but we've got to be realistic about that. So we talk about very minimal tax.
The labels that confuse me personally are alt-right and alt-left. As near as I can determine, an alt-right is basically a progressive who wants you to think he's conservative or she's conservative.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not seeing the distinction.
I see so many people are so confused by these terms. They think it means so many different things. I don't know that there's any true dictionary. You know, a lot of times they're just, these words are made up by the media. Words like assault weapon or assault rifle. You know, they tag words, they start giving them meaning that is really left up to interpretation. So I always like to just set the record straight. You know, libertarians are very middle of the road. There's things that conservatives agree with us 100%. There's things that Democrats agree with us 100%. And we're that middle road candidate where we can always find something to agree on. And as long as we're heading in the direction of liberty and protecting your rights, we're heading in a really good direction. So speaking of liberty and protecting your rights and kind of understanding what's going on here, I have gotten a number of Facebook messages and emails this week of people who have gotten fines on the New York State Thruway from the toll booths. I actually received,
I understand this. So you pull into the toll booth and they say, here's your fine, instead of handing you the ticket?
Well, these are people that are using the Easy Pass system, it seems, specifically. So they're going through the booths.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's not reading their pass. Maybe it's not reading their license plate. I find it interesting because I've had an instance where my Easy Pass stopped working.
I had exactly the same experience.
Yep. And they told me, oh, just drive through. It'll take a picture of your license plate and it'll just hit your account. Well, I ended up being one of those people. I did exactly what Easy Pass told me to do. I got $75 worth of fines in the mail for a $2 toll.
And how did you resolve that?
I haven't yet, but
did you try calling the wonderful 800 number?
Oh, yeah. I was on hold for, I think, 48
right.
minutes, and then I had to actually work, you know, so I didn't get hold of a person. But this last week, I actually got two other messages from people. One lady has over $9,000. And fines.
I do not like Easy Pass. And in fact, I used to have them in two or three vehicles, and I put them in their little foil packages and sent them back because I had exactly the same experience you did, slightly modified. I went through the Easy Pass lane like you normally do. We were heading into Canada. It was Grand Island, I think. And an interesting fun fact about those Easy Pass transponders is as the batteries age, they start throwing all kinds of weird data out that confuses the reader in the toll plaza. And so I get this communication saying that I had made a U-turn in the Harriman Toll Plaza down near New York City, which, you know, I haven't been in Orange County in probably 25 years. And I had the same experience you did, Andrew. You call the 800 number, you wait on hold forever. And finally, I talked to somebody live, and I think if you'd actually talked to somebody, it's a distinct possibility you wouldn't have gotten any satisfaction anyway, because essentially what the Thruway Authority told me was they didn't believe me.
Mm.
So you get some proof of try proving a negative.
Yeah.
What proof would suffice that would prove to you I wasn't in the Harriman Toll Plaza?
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's they dump the burden of proof on you. So, you know, the tolls are definitely getting out of control. I know it's a big pressure point for a lot of people, especially middle class working families who want to travel the state and use a thruway. Now, the thruway, many people know this, but there's people that don't. The thruway was never always supposed to be tolls. It was supposed to be a temporary thing, I think, for like 4 years, two or four years. And
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then they just kept they once they got their hands on the money, they couldn't say no. They couldn't. They just found other ways to do it. So something I like to tell people about is well, is there an alternative to tolls in New York State? And I really believe that there is. And this is something Larry and I talk about quite a bit. It's the idea of leasing naming rights to corporations who want to use it for advertising. So right now in New York, we actually have a Royal Bridge. We have an Imperial Bridge, the Mario Cuomo Bridge down in New York City, named after our royal family. Why isn't that the Chase Bank Bridge, the Staples Bridge, Key Bank, you know? Why can't we say, hey, company, you want to hear your name hundreds of times a day on the radio, on television, talking about traffic reports? Give us $30 to $40 million for that. We could totally do that. It's definitely doable. We can do this. We can raise money in ways other than taxation and reduce tolls on New Yorkers. But not only that, we should do one more thing. Companies that want to lease the naming rights to our infrastructure should also be responsible for maintaining the infrastructure. Because I'll tell you what, private roads, and I see memes on the internet sometimes, and they go, oh, this is a picture of a libertarian road, and it's like got a big pothole in it. I got news for you. That's actually a government road. What that person took a picture of is actually a government road poorly maintained. If you want to look at like a libertarian road, you should look at One Hacker Way. Look at Facebook's road. That's a private road.
I'll bet it's perfect.
Oh, it's absolutely perfect. It's a beautiful road. It's a beautiful road. So why can't we bring that idea to New York State and allow companies to maintain the roads in trade for some money so that we can reduce the taxes on our citizenship? And also they get their name on the bridge, or they get their name on the road. They get the naming rights.
Yeah, think of Blue Cross Arena. I mean, it happens all the time.
Yep, stadiums do it, absolutely. I spoke with a large wireless carrier, I can't really say who, specifically about this issue. And they said, you know what, we probably don't want our name on the road, but if you let us put our name on some don't text while driving signs, we'll give you millions and millions for that. So there's lots and lots of ways to do it, and we could literally eliminate tolls and have better roads than we've had ever in New York State.
How different from the fabled I Love New York tourism signs that, what do we spend, $14 million or something on these dopey signs that don't comport with the Federal Highway Traffic Administration regulations, and which we're about to apparently next month get fined for because Andrew Cuomo, in a spasm of ego, will not take them down as he's been ordered to do. So we're going to lose a lot of state aid.
Yeah. No, we're going to lose state aid. Not only that, you know what really bothers me about those signs? I mean, absolutely. It bothers me that we spent the money on it.
There's no content.
there's so many things. But you know what really bothers me is we have somebody pushing, saying, you know, all of these things, and those signs weren't even made in New York.
That's right. I forgot about that.
We took the money elsewhere, just like our driver's licenses aren't made in New York.
Yeah, aren't they printed in Canada?
Yeah, they're printed in Canada. Last I heard, I think they like moved an address to New York or something like that to say they have a mailing address in New York. But speaking of our current king, he's been saying some interesting things lately. Do we have a clip of his latest...
Oh, boy.
Latest speech here.
Do we ever have a clip? Here it comes.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great. We have not reached greatness. We will reach greatness when every American is fully engaged. We will reach greatness when discrimination and stereotyping against women, 51% of our population, is gone.
Yeah, so America was never great, according to Andrew Cuomo. And, you know, it's pretty interesting because he says, we won't reach greatness till everyone's engaged. You know,
Whatever that means.
Yeah, whatever that means. I'd like to say everybody engaged in voting, because if everybody engaged in voting, this guy would not be in office right now.
We talked about this a little bit before we went on the air. I think that statement from Andrew the Insane is his Waterloo. I really do. This is the equivalent of of Hillary Clinton's telling all the coal miners in West Virginia that, you know, you're going to lose all your jobs, and you know that's just the way it's going to be, or calling half the country deplorables.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, Andrew Cuomo, it's very, very obvious that he is not running for governor of New York State. He's not, right? He started this campaign as the incumbent. He's raised $30 million. The closest fundraiser to him has only $1.1 million. So he's 30 times ahead of the competition with money, and he's the incumbent. And he's still polling above everybody else. He's not raising money for the governor's race. He's raising money because he wants to be president. That's why he keeps going to Puerto Rico, spending our tax dollars, by the way, to go to Puerto Rico.
On that.
Yep. So that is, you know, that's what this man is doing, and he is digging himself a hole. His approval ratings continue to drop. So I got to say, Andy, keep it up, because you're making things look real good for us over here. And I hope he keeps speaking his mind, because New Yorkers don't agree with him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you hear that kind of horrified, startled response when he says it was never that great, referring to America. Most of the people in that room were Democrats.
Yeah, you heard all the booing and the like, everybody was like shocked.
There was no even a smattering of applause or anything. It was just kind of a stunned response. It was a monumentally dumb thing to say. I understand he wants to pander to the extreme left. He thinks that's the route to the White House. Somehow, I just don't think so.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. But hey, you know, maybe he's trying to compete with Nixon. I'm not sure. But I tell you what, when he talks, things are better for us. He's on the way down. We're on the way up. So I just say, let him keep talking. Let him keep shocking his base into running further and further away from him. And let's see what happens in November.
That is the voice of Andrew Hollister, who is the Libertarian candidate for Lieutenant Governor and the host of a brand new program here on the WISL stations, Radio Free New York, kind of like the old Radio Free Europe. And there's much more to come. Andrew's just getting warmed up. First show. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back.
The voice of Liberty. WYSL. You're listening to WYSL 1040.com, 92.1 FM and 1040 AM WYSL Avon Rochester.
Did you know that half of the population avoids regular dental visits because of fear? Remember that dental health affects whole body wellness, not just your mouth. Sedation Dentistry at Lakeview Dental allows you to relax and safely correct years of complex dental problems in just a few visits. At Lakeview Dental, they understand your fears. Visit LavoniaSmiles.com or call 346-3028. Lakeview Dental, for the smile of a healthier you.
Suffering a serious injury because of medical malpractice, nursing home neglect, dangerous conditions on property, or a car accident can make your life feel like it stands still. How will you provide for your family and overcome this loss? I'm Julie Jordan DePalma. I'm a trial attorney, but I'm also the daughter of someone who suffered a disabling injury. When you need someone to provide compassionate guidance to your family, but be a fearless advocate to your opponent, call the law offices of Jordan DePalma at 585-673-3053.
The News 1040 weather phone. Call it now. 346-9140.
Now back to Radio Free New York. Here's Andrew Hollister once again.
Hey guys, how's it going? So we just before the break, we were talking about Governor Cuomo saying that America was never great. And, you know, many, many people in the state, in this country, reject that. You see it all over. Even his own base was shocked that he said that, which kind of brings us to the walk away movement. I don't know. You know, the walk away movement is pretty interesting. I know there's some controversy over it, but I've started seeing it here in New York, and it's pretty interesting. What's going on here in New York. Now, being a Libertarian candidate, I am a third-party candidate, and that certainly makes the race harder because we've got this duopoly. We've got this two-party system. And in New York, I'm seeing the walk-away movement happen on both sides, which is really encouraging to me because I made the decision to come to the Libertarian Party because I didn't feel that I was being represented in New York. And when things like the SAFE Act get passed and get funded every single year, I felt like I just, my voice wasn't being heard. And to be honest, making the switch was a little nerve-wracking at first. Gonna be totally honest. And I'm so glad that I did. And as I travel the state, I meet with people all the time that say, yeah, my party doesn't represent my values. And it doesn't matter what party they're in when they're saying that. They could be Democrat, Republican, Conservative, Greens, Independents, which is different than Independent. There is an Independence Party in New York. Sometimes people register under that party. They think they've registered independent, but they actually just joined another party. So it's really interesting. I actually met somebody at a fair yesterday wearing the Walk Away shirt. And he came right up to us and he started talking to us right away, saying how, you know, he's really made the decision to be truly an independent this year and to vote based on the person, not the party. And that it was just amazing for him. He was so excited. He almost felt freed because now he got to make his own choice. And I think that Andrew Cuomo's words are really going to push even more Democrats in that direction, where they decide that they're going to walk away from the Democratic Party this year. And many of them are saying, well, I'll never walk to the Republican Party, but they will walk to a third party or an independent party. So they are coming our way. And just like a really cool story, I went to a fair and I heard that one of our opponents was there. One of the lieutenant governor candidates went there and was trying really hard to backpedal on a video that she published, basically saying how much she loves the SAFE Act, how she wants to go a step further. We need to ban more things. We need more common sense gun control. And that's the Republican ticket today. And so she published that video was published of her saying this during a debate this year. So she came over, she was trying to backpedal and tell people that that's not what she stands for right now. And so just straight up pandering. And she told a story to some of the people that was interesting. She said when her family found out that she was running for lieutenant governor, that her kids got excited because they thought that she was going to run with Larry Sharp. And I don't know why she would have shared that story, because that's just pumping more excitement for Larry, who she's not running with. Yeah.
Give her credit for candor.
I maybe she was trying to build rapport by being like, look how honest I am. You know, I'm not really sure.
Building rapport for Larry Sharp.
If I were her, I wouldn't be going around telling that story, though. So thank you so much for sharing that. But that kind of gave me an idea. I was like, you know what? I'm going to walk around this fair. There's a Democratic committee table here and a Republican, committee table here. I'm going to go visit those guys. So I did. So I went over there and I started at the Democrat table.
Did they have a lot of free stuff there? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I wasn't looking for the free stuff, so I'm not sure, but maybe. And I started talking with the people. I introduced myself right away, and they pick up their sheet. They're like, oh, wow, that's great. You're running for lieutenant governor. And they're looking at the sheet to find my name. And I'm like, no, I'm not running on your ticket. And they're like, oh, you're not? Like, what are you doing here? I was like, well, I just want to talk with you guys.
Wait. Let me understand this. You went to the Democrats and they didn't know who their candidate was for lieutenant governor?
They did not know. Yeah, that was a little surprising to me. They did not know. So we started a conversation. It was an amazing conversation. It actually lasted about 20 minutes at this table. And the one lady starts off with, okay, so if you're the Libertarian, can you explain to me what the difference is between what you stand for and the Republican Party? And so I kind of gave her the whole rundown that I normally would, where I explained that, you know, we're really for less government control over your life, less regulation. We're for a small government that protects your rights, which is, you know, totally in line with the Republican ideals. But then we differ in the aspect that we think that, you know, the government shouldn't be in your bedroom. And the government shouldn't regulate certain individual rights, where you'll see that certain Republicans in the state push really, really hard for. And she's like, well, you know, my husband's really going to like that because he's on the Republican committee. It was really interesting. This dynamic was really interesting. I happen to have a petition form with me to get Larry and I on the ballot. And she realized it. And she's like, can we sign your petition to get you and Larry on the ballot? I said, yeah, absolutely. They're like, we don't have to be registered Libertarian to sign. No, as long as you're registered in New York State. Every single person at the Democratic table signed our petition to get us on the ballot.
No way.
Yes. It was amazing.
That's hilarious.
It was great. They were so excited, so thrilled with what Larry and I want to do with New York.
So how did they know this? Had they studied up on him? Had they paid attention?
Based on our 20-minute conversation, they asked me the questions that were so important to them. And we agreed on every single one of those issues. And there was no pandering. Larry and I do not pander, not whatsoever, not to anybody. I just told them where our policies were. So then I walk across the way and I go to the Republican table. And I talk with them. You know what they said? We're already supporting you guys. We've already signed. So we had the Republicans and the Democrats on both sides of the aisle.
Proving once again, ladies and gentlemen, that the all the sacred cows that have to do with party politics, not just in New York, but I think almost everywhere, are being slain one by one. I mean, it's sacred cow hamburgers. It's, ground round. I mean, it's anything can happen. Is that a fair thing to say, Andrew?
I believe so. You know, this last week has been just so encouraging. I mean, we've been building momentum just like beyond what anybody ever thought was possible. And it shows everywhere we go. Because after that moment, after I walked away from that Republican table, I then went back to our booth, which was on the other side of the fair, and, you know, was interacting with voters, talking with people. And I'm not specifying which county this is in because I want to make sure that I'm, you know, giving people their, you know, privacy, essentially. But the sheriff of that county came over and told us that he's supporting us and that his wife and his child absolutely love what we're doing and are huge, huge supporters. And then a few minutes later, a person from another county comes over who's a Republican committeeman and says, our entire committee is supporting you guys. We're not being really loud about it, but can we have some more literature to share with our friends? Can we have some more buttons because our friends really want it? I mean, this movement to restore our rights in New York State has just been sounding throughout the state, and people from every direction are coming because they're tired of status quo in New York. And right now, statewide, it doesn't matter if you're right, doesn't matter if you vote blue or red in the statewide election, you're going to get status quo. But if you vote gold this year, you can make some serious, serious change in New York.
Go
that's
for the
what
gold.
People are saying, yeah, go for the gold.
Give them the gold. Website there while you're at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. So
they're
going
to want to learn about this.
Yeah, yeah. So LarrySharp.com. That's Sharp with an E. Stands for electable. So if you go to LarrySharp.com, you will see the campaign there. If you go on Facebook and you search Larry Sharp for New York and Andrew Hollister for New New York, you can find us. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all day, every day, pumping information to you guys. And that actually brings up a great point. We are having a rally in Syracuse next week, which is going to be the first rally this year. And it is going to be a blast. We're going to be in the amphitheater. That is Friday the 24th. Starts at 5:30 p.m. We're going to have some guest speakers there. Shannon Joy from the Shannon Joy Show is actually going to be one of the speakers at the rally. So we're really, really excited about that. And it's going to be a great time. People from all over the state have already said they're coming. This is people coming together to really push a movement of liberty to change the direction of New York State from downhill and further to tyranny, to turn it around and head us back in the direction of liberty.
Andrew, just to help folks get to know Larry Sharp a little bit more, too, he was recently on one of the big networks with CNN.
Fox.
It was
on
a Fox.
Fox.
Yeah, he was reacting to Andy's infamous "America was never great" comment, and so that clip's available on YouTube. But just look for Larry Sharp on Fox.
Yeah, absolutely. It was foxbusiness.com. I don't have the exact link in front of me, but if you search for it, it's definitely out there. People are sharing it all over. And, you know, Larry said something that that most people in New York, I think, would agree with. He said, while Governor Cuomo is wrong, where he says America was never great, and he's absolutely wrong, because people come to this country every day to flee terrible, terrible things across the world. But you know what else he said? He said right now, New York State's not great. And New York State's not great because of Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Is it ironic?
It's very ironic, but it's true. It's true.
Well, you know, we harken back to the intro to the show that I just came up with. I don't know if Andrew likes it or not. I didn't get a reaction from him, but it really is. I did grow up in the 1950s in New York State, and let me tell you, folks, it's like the difference between East and West Berlin. It really is. I mean, every one of these towns across the state, Batavia, Rochester, Newark, Rome, Utica, all kinds of little and sometimes large local employers. We made everything in this state. It truly was the Empire State. It was not just a license plate frame then.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. America or New York State specifically used to be a place that people wanted to move to, wanted to be a part of. Instead, today, what we have is we're losing more than 100,000 people a year due to high taxes and overregulation. Over a million since Andy took office. Over a million people have left this state. There's no way you can look at it as success. There's no way you can look at that as great. You know, you look at states like Florida and the Carolinas, and they have nicknames for us down there. So many of us leave this state that if you move to the Carolinas and you're a New Yorker, they call you a halfback because you move more than likely to Florida and then halfway back. So New Yorkers are called halfbacks in the Carolinas. That's how bad it is here. We have our own nickname. That's awful.
Yeah, there's another nickname for Charlotte, too, North Carolina. It's called Buffalo.
Buffalo. Yeah, so there's literally communities of people that just from New York, in the Carolinas, in Florida. That's the situation. So thank you guys so much for joining me. This is the first show where Ollie writes all the time. And so glad that you joined me. Catch me again next week, Friday, 1 p.m.
Well, you're not done yet.
Oh, I'm not done yet.
No, you got another segment here.
Oh, okay. I'm hearing the music. I thought that was the end. All right, you catch me in about 2 minutes.
There's more Andrew Hollister. More Andrew Hollister to come here on Radio Free New York. By the way, it's so great. It just bears repeating.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great.
Thank you, Governor Headcase. We'll be back on Radio Free New York.
Getting your Social Security benefits. It's complicated. Selecting your Social Security benefit is more than just deciding when to start. If you're married, divorced, or widowed, the decisions include his or hers, when and how. And if you have other income, income taxes may be another issue. I'm Alan Ginsberg, and I want to assist you with maximizing your lifetime retirement income based on your personal objectives. It's complicated, but I can help make it simple. My 30 years of experience helping business owners and individuals meet their needs has prepared me to help you. If you plan to collect Social Security and you want to avoid losing the benefits that you're entitled to, then call me, Alan Ginsberg, at 585-377-4720 to arrange a look at your options today. That's 585-377-4720, because when life happens, we plan for it.
Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors, Inc., AM Ginsberg Advisory Group, and Securities America Companies are separate entities.
All your rights, all the time. Andrew Hollister, your host on Radio Free New York. Here he is.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. Sorry I tried to leave you early here. So I'm getting used to how the show works. And thank you so much for tuning in.
You're just in a hurry to get the happy hour. I know what this stresses it out.
Well, really, my happy hour is range time, but, you know, that's a different situation.
Nothing like getting some hot brass whacking you in the forehead.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing better. So we're talking about New York State, just kind of the state of things, and really how we're attracting people from all parties, all across the state here. So I'm going to share one more story with you guys that happened. I told you guys this week was a really, really encouraging week. You know, we're in our final push for petitions here, and we had a goal to get 30,000 petitions. We're very, very close to our goal. And I mean, we literally had 5,000 petitions come in just yesterday. So we are moving ahead like you wouldn't believe. And for those who don't know what that means, and maybe what I'm talking about in the political process. So in New York State, to get your name on the ballot, you have to collect petitions from registered voters. You have to go door to door, meet people at fairs and parades all over the place, and ask them, hey, will you please sign this form so my name can be on the ballot? Now, signing those petitions, it's not an endorsement. It doesn't mean that you're guaranteed to vote for that person. It's just you got to do it. That's how New York State does it. Other states, you don't have to do that at all. Other states, you can get on the ballot simply by being a part of the party. Sometimes there's a party fee. Each state has its own different laws. That's how it works in New York. We need 15,000 to get on the ballot. We always go for 30. The reason we go for 30 is the other parties, they don't like competition. They don't. And if they can get you off the ballot, they will try to use a legal process to do so. So they'll go through your petitions and they'll try to say, oh, you know, this this address doesn't match their voter registration address. You know, they moved and didn't update their address. So they'll eliminate that signature. They'll say, oh, the town that you wrote down isn't the town they actually pay taxes to. So they'll eliminate that signature. Or they'll say, you know, the guy who signed the witness statement, he filled it out wrong. So they'll try to eliminate that whole sheet. So that's why we always go for 30,000 signatures. We are doing amazing. We're very, very close to our goal. People are out working really hard. And I've been out this week with volunteers and everybody just going out, meeting with as many people as I can, getting these signatures. And we did an event earlier this week, I think it was, and going around and then, you know, in full disclosure, this was a Second Amendment event. So pretty much everybody there is 100% on board with us. So getting signatures there is really easy. You know, hey, will you help us get on the ballot? Yeah, I see what Larry's doing. I love his stance on the SAFE Act. I love his plan on the SAFE Act, the only realistic plan to eliminate the SAFE Act in New York State.
Tell him what it is.
So this plan is, it's really simple, really straightforward. And this is how you can tell that other people who are saying they're for the Second Amendment aren't really trying hard, because anybody could do this and nobody's saying they're going to do it. First one is, first 90 days in office, we are going to start issuing executive pardons to people who are victims of the SAFE Act. You had your life ruined by a SAFE Act charge. We're going to give you your life back. We're going to get you an executive pardon.
You got that, folks? So suppose that you got some judge whacked you for having too many bullets in your magazine, for example.
Yep.
And you don't happen to have 10 grand to fight that, to pay a lawyer.
Costs way more than that.
Yep.
Way more.
Yep, it can. Yep. No question about it. I'm being conservative. So this can just go away.
Yep.
With the stroke of a pen.
Yep. So we're going to literally create the Office of the Pardon, which purposes to pardon people for victimless crimes. Now, somebody might say, well, hey, wait, some of these SAFE Act people, they're bad. You know, they robbed a liquor store. They're real criminals. Absolutely. We already have laws against robbing a liquor store from hurting and assaulting people. So those charges aren't going to go away. If you knocked over a liquor store, you're still going to jail for that. But as far as people who have been victimized from the SAFE Act, which I just got another message today, another guy from New York State saying, hey, I need help. I just got charged with a SAFE Act violation. And this poor guy, to the story that he told me, he actually checked in for mental, like a mental health overnight, because his wife or his girlfriend left him. And so he went in there to do the right thing. He said, I know I'm in a bad spot. I need help. And they said, you got guns at home, or something along those lines. They found out he has guns at home. Now he's got three SAFE Act charges. So, you know, for doing the right thing. I mean, if somebody was in a bad state of mind, I want them to get help. Now, what the word is in New York State is if you need help, you're going to lose your rights and maybe even go to jail. That's the message that they're sending. So, second piece of the SAFE Act is to tell law enforcement, enforcement of the SAFE Act is a zero priority. So what do we mean by that? Hey, officer, if you have the choice between counting bullets in a guy's magazine or picking your nose, please pick your nose. That's what that means.
Or maybe go after felons.
I would love that. I would love for us to worry about actual crime in New York, not somebody's political agenda.
That's not a swipe at our law enforcement community either, because most of them are extremely hardworking. And the truth of the matter is they don't have time to pick their nose. They're too busy out there trying to pick criminals. And if they have to spend time counting the bullets in somebody's mag, or giving them a hard time about the way that the firearm is stored in a vehicle because of a technical violation or something, they'd rather not do that.
Absolutely. And so many law enforcement have come to me and said, Andrew, we need you to get elected because just that piece alone, making the SAFE Act enforcement not a priority. Many of these law enforcement feel that the SAFE Act is 100% against their oath of office. They really believe that. And they feel that there are times in New York where they're asked to basically choose. Are they going to feed their family or are they going to fulfill their oath of office? This is literally what I've been told. And they said, you know, I have to feed my family. So by doing this, a lot of officers are really, really excited. They're really happy to hear that this is the option, that they're going to have a governor and lieutenant governor who say, no, honor your oath of office. Honor your oath to protect and defend the Constitution. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to give them a way to do that. Last piece for the SAFE Act is vetoing any funding for it. It's such a simple thing. But the Republican ticket hasn't even agreed to do that. So any funding, period, that comes in on the SAFE Act will go away. We will veto it immediately. Bring me a budget with no SAFE Act funding. And that's what we're going to do. Requires no cooperation from the Senate. Requires no cooperation from the Assembly. All three of those things can be done from the governor's office without needing anybody else. Nobody else can stop us from doing that. That's what we're going to do to render the SAFE Act useless in New York State. And but that's just the first step. Because the reason we're doing all of these things, and people ask, they say, well, why don't you just veto everything, to push, you know, so that they have to do it? Well, we're running for governor and lieutenant governor. We're not running for dictator, right? So let's start there. We don't want more Cuomo, right? Because that's what Cuomo does. What we really want to do is we want to change culture in New York State. New York State had no SAFE Act for forever until recently. We had no SAFE Act. The rest of the country has no SAFE Act. Now, there's a few states that have got some pretty awful laws, but we need to change the culture in New York. We need to fly air cover for the Senate, air cover for the Assembly, because there are people in there that do want to eliminate the SAFE Act, but they're not going to eliminate the SAFE Act because the immediate moment that there's a shooting, and there will be a shooting, there's going to happen. They do happen. This is New York State. We have a lot of crime here. The media is going to jump all over them and say, hey, Senator so-and-so, Assemblyman so-and-so, this is your fault. You voted against the SAFE Act. This person wouldn't have been shot otherwise. Larry and I will stand up and say, no, we have laws against shooting people already. SAFE Act or no SAFE Act, that would not have prevented this crime. Not only that, this country was founded on individual liberties. We are not going to take away people's individual liberties because one person ruined it for everyone else. You get 2 years of Larry and I taking the heat on these issues, 2 years of having basically a useless, limp SAFE Act that then we push in 2020 for a hard repeal. And at that point, it'll happen because we've had 2 years to change culture, 2 years to show people there's no zombie apocalypse with no SAFE Act. We'll change the culture. We'll get rid of the SAFE Act that way.
And not only that, your sky-high polls will convince all the other politicians in the Assembly. I'm looking at you guys.
Yep.
Opposing the SAFE Act has political benefits.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. It does. And not just that, it will give our constitutionalists, our Second Amendment-minded people who are really hurting right now. They are, because they're feeling like nobody supports them. Larry and I do support them, but they've been feeling for years that nobody was willing to stand up for them. And we're going to give them a good, solid 4 years of constitutional support, how it was meant to be, the way the Founding Fathers envisioned it. So I think this is the music this time, which means the show is actually coming to an end. And
there's another segment.
There's another segment.
I'm just kidding.
All right, there you go. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. The podcast will be at AYR.show. If you missed part of the show, that's allyourrights.show, AYR.show, not .com. And next week, I'm going to tell you about a conversation I had with somebody running for assembly and his opinions on our campaign.
Thanks so much, Andrew Hollister. Radio Free New York will return next week, every Friday at 1. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the WISL stations.